Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Tom Capone, Executive Director of the NYDLA, and this is another session of Coffee in the Clouds. Today we have Dennis Mortensen, the CEO of X.AI. That's the website, X.AI, phenomenal website. What they do is they are offering artificial intelligence powering personal assistance for scheduling meetings. And I would like to get right into it. Dennis, how are you?
I am, if nothing else, happy.
Dennis, tell us about X.AI.
I think you nailed it. And I actually think that's one of the wonderful things about what we do, which is that the offering of what we do, it's extremely easy to understand. The execution of having to build a verticalized AI that can do the exact same thing as a human in that of setting up meetings is obviously extremely complex. But it's very easy to understand what we do, which is that you and me want to meet up, we want to talk on the phone, and we certainly don't want to do the ping pong ourselves. So it would be nice if I had some sort of assistant for where I could just say, hey, could you be so kind and set something up with Dennis come early next week? Not Tuesday, though. Send archive. And then Amy, your assistant, which is a machine, needs to do whatever she needs to do to make sure that we get on the phone together. And that's what we've been working on for the last almost 2 years, alone in the dark in the basement. But we are getting close.
So I know that you've just mentioned Amy, but now there's also Andrew.
That is correct. So the very first thing you can choose when you sign up your new AI-driven personal assistant is whether you want to utilize Amy Ingram or Andrew Ingram. But also, one of the very first things that you would almost expect when we go to market is that pro edition for where you can both change her name, tune her signature, and get all those other kind of pro features, such as unlimited meetings and so on and so forth.
I see. So what led you to develop an AI-powered personal assistant who can schedule meetings?
So here's the sad story. It is not one for where I was running along on the beach smiling. It is one for where I've just spent 3 years working on a predictive analytics venture that got acquired back in 2013, and having a little bit of extra time on my hands, I did the sad thing of counting my meetings the year prior in 2012. And what I found was that I did 1,019 meetings. What's even sadder, 672 of those meetings got rescheduled. And perhaps the most dramatic thing is I did all of them myself. I didn't have an assistant, an office manager, or help. I just sat at home in my underwear at 11 p.m. scheduling meetings every night. That's not fun. I think that is so sad that you somehow try to figure out how can I somehow solve that. And I think that was the beginning of us trying to figure out why is it that any one of these apps or plugins or extensions or DoodleMe or TungleMe haven't worked in the past? And why is it that everybody's in love with the idea of getting their own human personal assistant? And I think that was the catalyst, me being full of pain, that kind of obvious kind of view that people want a human, but they can't afford her. What if we could build one as a machine? Perhaps that's a massive opportunity. And then we got cranking that December, and in April 2014, we set up proper shop, raised a little bit of money, and over the last kind of year and a half, we've been working 60 guys out of that basement to kind of make it work.
Now, I've been beta testing Amy for about a week now, and not just because you're on the phone with me right now, I'm thoroughly impressed, but my first question is, how did you get Amy, and I guess Andrew, to seem so human?
That's a good question, and I think the very first question, if we do believe that there's a kind of potential paradigm shift in how software is delivered, which is moving away from apps and probably into intelligent agents, is whether you want to humanize your agent. So you can choose to do as Apple have done with Siri, humanize it, or choose to do what Google did with Google Now, have it as a software application for where there's certainly events and notifications and so on and so forth. I believe very much so that there's a huge value in humanizing it. We can go into great detail of that. So after we chose to humanize it, we had to decide how much empathy almost to embed into Amy and Andrew. And for us, we thought the more empathy we could embed into Amy and Andrew, the better the conversation with the guest and the host, and the more likely of a positive outcome. So we need to invest it heavily into this. We actually have just a full-time position, which we call an AI interaction designer, for where her whole role is to make sure that Amy is not just a pool of templates, but a whole being that exists in her own right. It's a very good question, and it's super fascinating to kind of talk about.
Wow. Well, we're going to have another offline conversation on that, because I am truly amazed how I believe that Amy is a real person.
And here's a funny anecdote to that, and you're not alone. It's not you being silly here, and it's not even us trying to fool people as part of our design. So we have hosts like you who with 100% certainty know that this is a machine, but who still email Amy back even once a meeting is scheduled, saying things like, oh, thank you very much, Amy. Oh, much appreciated that you were able to set this up on Friday as asked for. Oh, have a great weekend, and so on and so forth. Why do people do that? You know, this is a machine for where she doesn't sleep better over the weekend if you send her a thank you note. People continue to do so. I'm actually very happy to see that they do, but it's a very fascinating relationship that over the next kind of half decade, we'll have to kind of figure out what does that look like between humans and machines. And we're just starting to see the beginning of that here with Amy and Andrew.
There's a test for that, is there not?
So
in the industry?
Go ahead. Yeah, people talk about the Turing test as he came up with it about 60 years ago, for where you can test to see whether a machine can pass for a human, whether that's a good test or not. But certainly the way the test is supposed to be conducted is that you sit behind the screen and you speak to some other entity on the other side of the screen, and you should be able to determine whether that's a human or a machine. And if you cannot, the machine has passed the Turing test. And the funny thing of that is, to some extent, we're running that test, you know, thousands of times every single day, and many times we pass it. Whether that's a valid test for whether we've reached kind of true AI, I'm not so sure. I think it's a nifty little test, and it's funny to kind of see it kind of being passed. But I think this kind of original idea of AI we certainly started with, of being at human level, and for you and I to have a human level conversation with this entity, is certainly not what we've reached. I do think, though, that we've reached the point where you can build extremely intelligent, verticalized AIs that can do one job, and that one job extremely well. So well that you might not even be able to differ between that of the machine and that of the human having done that job.
Most of the people that are in the NYDLA community are familiar with, let's say, Siri or Cortana or even Facebook's M. So
yep.
How is Amy different?
The way I like to think about this is of them being in two different categories, really. There's the heavily verticalized AI, such as Amy, that can do this one thing, but that one thing extremely well. So well that you're kind of half confused about whether this is really a human or not. But she can't do anything else. And then there's the kind of generalized personal assistants, such as Siri and Cortana, where you're supposed to be able to ask them anything. What's the time in Singapore? Can you set my alarm? Send a text to my mom? And I think they really exist on two different levels. I call them, the Cortanas and the Siris, horizontal AIs. And I think they will end up becoming enablers, meaning that we don't really compete against each other. And the likely future is really one for where you would say something along the lines of, hey, Siri, could you have Amy set something up with Dennis come early February when I'm out in New York? And then it's Siri's job to understand what you asked her and pass on that information to Amy, who has the intelligence and ability to kind of go work that as a job and work that for a day and a half. And upon conclusion, go back to Siri and say, hey, the thing you asked me about, I've done now. You can go back to your boss and tell him that it's all well and proper inserted into his calendar. So I think that will be the relationship between these horizontal AIs and these vertical AIs. Actually, so much so that I think the verticalized AIs will end up having their own marketplace, very similar to that of an app store, for where today you install the Expedia app because you're trying to figure out where you and the wife and the kids are supposed to go this summer. But I think in the future, you will go to this intelligent agent marketplace and say, I need a travel agent that can help me out for this trip that I'm planning with my wife and kids this summer. And you hire that agent to work for you. That agent won't be a $500 a month agent. It might be a free agent. It might be a couple of bucks, kind of app-type pricing. So that's how I view the relationship between the Siris and the Amys and how we're going to have all these agents kind of interact with each other.
So we just celebrated a new year. It's 2016. How do you see the AI landscape, let's say, by the year 2020? What do we have to look forward to?
In 2020, I think this current version that of the future that we live in, for where you sit with your iPhone, I sit with mine, I got 119 apps, you got 140 apps on yours, certainly cannot be the future. Which does not mean that I don't like my iPhone. I think that's a fantastic piece of technology, and each one of the apps are great, but it cannot be the future. I think at that moment, the amount of apps that you have installed have massively decreased. To the point for where, yes, you're not going to remove your calculator, but I can certainly tell you that my kids don't use the calculator. They speak to Siri to have things calculated for them. So I think that will have heavily decreased, and I think you'll have a pool of agents that you have now hired. And I think we've now, in 2020, also reached the point where these agents have started to talk to each other. So Amy wouldn't really schedule a meeting in Miami for you before she spoke to your travel agent, because she can see that you've hired a travel agent. She want to know when you arrive so she doesn't schedule it too quickly and you can't get from the airport to the meeting location. And I think that will be the inflection point for where things start to get exciting. And I actually think this kind of initial kind of AI fantasy that we've had where this intelligent being arrives, I don't think there'll be any ta-da moment for where some morning Google launches this oracle. No, I think it will be some moment for where we start to recognize that all these agents that have started to talk to each other will resemble some of that fantasy that we had of this intelligent being, because Amy, my meeting scheduling agent, speaks to Johnny, my travel agent, who speaks to Samantha, who does my taxes, and she needs the receipts from Johnny, who did the travels, and so on and so forth. And I think at 2020, that will be the beginning of that.
So when can we all start using Amy and Andrew?
In 2016. And that sounds like I didn't give you any answer at all. And perhaps I didn't. And it can't be tomorrow, and it certainly won't be in December. So I think once the weather gets a whole lot better in New York and the heat is turned on again, we should be in market in some capacity.
So what are your plans to bring Amy and Andrew to market?
I think we would want to go to market because that's not where we want to innovate. We want to innovate on the AI itself and make that as intelligent as possible. So the way we would want to go to market would be very similar to that of, say, a Dropbox or Evernote or Slack, meaning that you sit at home in pain, looking at your inbox, you cry a little, and then you remember, I think there's some agent out there that can work on my meetings at least. You should go to the website, you sign up, there should be a free edition, and you can immediately start to use her right there and then. Then hopefully you'll fall in love with her to the extent where you would want to start using a pro edition that gives you unlimited meeting scheduling and can tune some of the parameters. So she works in a different name and under a different kind of moniker. So that's certainly how I see us go to market. And that pricing should be very low. A good cup of coffee or two should really be it. It should be something for where you don't even think about it. Just like I don't know what the pricing really is for my Netflix subscription. I think it's $8.95. It might actually have increased to $9.95, but I think it's so fair that I don't care. And I think Amy should be priced at the same level for, hey, she does so much work that it's ridiculous that I'm only paying $7.95 for her.
Right. Well, I've been using Amy now for about a week, and I don't want her to ever go away. So
thank you very much.
I see an amazing future here, and this was very enjoyable. I am convinced that our community, they should definitely visit x.ai. That's the website. And are you giving beta? Are you still accepting beta users?
So we are adding users every day. But we simply can't add users as fast as people sign up for the wait list. Users are being added every day. We just unfortunately have a rather long wait list, but people are being picked off that as fast as we can. We're just quite protective about the quality of the service right now because we're still training the AI. So we don't want to pull people off so fast that we start to kind of pollute the data set and thus the quality of Amy, which is why not everybody can just sign up right now. But go to the website, x.ai, sign up for that wait list, and you'll get moved into the beta as fast as we can.
That's fantastic. Well, we have a strong presence in the conferencing world. I can't imagine any conferencing provider not using Amy or Andrew to help schedule meetings. So please promise that we can visit with you again in several months, especially when you are, you know, up and running and taking paid subscribers.
I would be happy to kind of continue that conversation. We are obviously very enthusiastic about this space.
Excellent. Well, Dennis, this was great, and I thank you for your time. Everybody, this is Tom Capone, Executive Director of the NYDLA, and this was another session of Coffee in the Clouds.